Welcome. Thanks for checking in to the Test Designer presentation. In the next few minutes, we're going to introduce you to a revolutionary new technology, one that will significantly impact the way in which you approach analog and mixed signal test problems. Test Designer truly represents a new paradigm in software-based test development. Test Designer focuses on many areas, including stress analysis, reliability, failure mode and effects analysis, and product acceptance test development. It uses a new simulation-based approach to testing, allowing you to achieve more accurate results in less time and at a greatly reduced cost. The web presentation of Test Designer is in two parts. This is part one, and it represents a good portion of the Test Designer seminar series now touring the USA, Europe, and Asia. In part one, we'll look at an introduction to Intersoft's SPICE tools. We'll then take a look at some of the problems surrounding current testing methods and how Test Designer approaches the problem. We'll look at what's unique about Test Designer and some of the motivations about why the product was developed. And lastly, we'll do a Test Designer example showing you some of the features and benefits of Test Designer. In part two, we'll discuss some of the theory behind how Test Designer works. We'll look at the synthesis and sequencing algorithms and talk about robust test development and other Test Designer related issues. Some of the slides in Test Designer may be a little bit difficult to see on the web-based presentation. It's recommended that you print out the PowerPoint slides that are also on the web page. This will allow you to see the slides more clearly and follow along with the presentation. Before we get started, a little bit about Intersoft. Intersoft is an EDA software tool developer based in San Pedro, California. We were founded in March of 1985, and we are currently the largest independent SPICE developer in the EDA market. One of the unique characteristics of Intersoft is that we're solely focused on simulation-related tools. We haven't decided to go off and be a broadline EDA supplier, but rather remain focused on simulation-based products. As you'll see, this will become significant when we look at the different technologies needed to develop Test Designer. So let's begin. Test Designer is a revolutionary approach to analog and mixed signal test design. It allows you to do test program development, fault isolation and diagnosis, acceptance test design, and failure analysis and design validation. This slide looks a little bit complicated, but it'll give us a good idea of the relationship between the different tasks needed to perform circuit simulation. In the gray bubbles, we see the components of the ICAP for Windows system. They include a schematic entry package called SpiceNet, a set of over 13,000 SPICE models, an analog and mixed signal simulator we call iSPICE4, and a post-processor to analyze the waveforms that's called Interscope. All of these pieces are included in ICAP for Windows, which is the basic SPICE toolset offered by Intersoft. These pieces are also included in Test Designer. While we have our own schematic entry package that's especially designed for SPICE, we have hooked our SPICE simulator into other schematics. We've done this because we know that you have corporate standards and you may have to use one of these other schematic tools. The iSPICE4 simulator and the post-processor and our model libraries have been hooked into ORCAD's capture program, Proltel's schematic program, advanced schematic, and ViewLogic's schematic ViewDraw. In addition to the SPICE models in our libraries, we also offer an AHDL modeling technology. This allows you to develop your own models based on our AHDL. The AHDL is not proprietary, and it's derived from the XSPICE program, a public domain software from the Georgia Institute of Technology. The AHDL is based on C, and it allows you to create new Windows DLLs and hook them into the SPICE4 program. There are several other tools offered that stand alone but integrate with the SPICE tools. The first one is called Magnetics Designer. This program allows you to synthesize transformer and inductor structures from specifications. So you would enter the voltage and the current for each winding in your transformer, the frequency of operation, and the Magnetics Designer tool would actually synthesize the structure and tell you how many turns of wire, what size of wire, how many strands, the AC and DC resistance, the losses, and the temperature rise. It'll even put out a SPICE model so you can simulate it along with the rest of your circuitry. The second tool is called FilterMaster, and this program allows you to synthesize passive and active filters from user specifications. The last standalone tool, which is also included with Test Designer, is called SPICEMod. SPICEMod makes SPICE models of semiconductors directly from manufacturers' datasheet parameters. It makes models for everything from diodes through IGBTs. The arrows connecting the gray bubbles indicate the integration between the different tools. In olden days, SPICE was run in more of a batch style, where we'd make a netlist, run a simulation, look at the results, and then change the netlist and do this all in series. This is rather manual and not suited for today's needs. In our ICAF for Windows solution, the schematic, the simulator, and the post-processor are very tightly integrated. But when we approach the test design problem, we're going to simulate every single failure mode in the circuit. For example, if we have 100 parts on our circuit, and there are 3 to 5 failure modes per part, that means we're going to have 300 to 500 simulations. It's not possible to do this manually, and it's certainly not practical. So in Test Designer, what we've done is automate the different tasks we have to do. We've automated the SPICE simulation, and we've automated the post-processing. Now you may say to yourself, well, if we're going to perform all of these different simulations, it's going to take a long time on our machine. And that's true. And we have a technology that can help you overcome this problem of runtime. It's called SPICEFARM. The SPICE farm is a farm of computers that are connected to your computer. When you run the circuit simulation software, you have the opportunity to run all your simulations on your local machine. By checking a specific option in one of the dialogs, we can instead have these simulations run on the farm. So for running a Monte Carlo analysis with many cases, or a failure analysis with many different failure simulations, instead of them running serially on your computer, they can all be run in parallel. The Intesoft SPICE farm consists of 32 machines. When running all of the jobs in parallel, we can dramatically reduce the runtime needed to perform Monte Carlo analysis or failure analysis. The SPICE farm technology is available on your intranet basis or on an internet basis. It's included with the Test Designer software so that you can try it out and possibly implement an intranet at your own local site. Now we know test design is a pain in the neck. The process is unstructured, it's time consuming, and it's often based on guesswork. I went to a different, So what are the motivations behind developing Test Designer? Well, the first thing is we need more structure. Okay? You need to be able to do test development in the same way from design to design. You need to be able to do it in a structured way so you can exchange results with coworkers and with the customer. We need to be more accurate. Simply performing functional tests is not sufficient anymore. There are many failure modes that could be disguised in functional hardware and not reveal themselves until they're in the field when it's too late. The test engineer often has to guess at how a circuit works, and this is just not possible anymore. So we have to approach the test design problem in a more accurate way. The last item is more speed. We have design, who has finished a design on one side, manufacturing on the other, who wants to build it, and test is squeezed in the middle. Test development needs to happen faster, in weeks or days, and not months. Now, if we can do these three things, then the result will be a dramatic increase in productivity and savings in money. And that's what Test Designer was designed to do. Test Designer is a complete software system. You don't need any other products. It allows you to perform a full range of circuit and system analyses, and it approaches the test program development problem using failure simulation. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, Test Designer is a new product and it's not really tested. How do I know it's going to work? In actuality, Test Designer is based on two fundamental technologies. The first is SPICE, and the second is inference modeling. In the past, test engineers have used inference modeling to take a fault dictionary and map the failure results of a circuit into a series of tests in order to find out which parts have failed. The problem with this method in the past is that test engineers have never been able to populate the fault dictionary fully enough to get a good test sequence. What Test Designer is going to do is use SPICE to simulate the failure behavior of the circuit and thus perform an exhaustive failure simulation. The fault dictionary will then be completely populated and will be able to use inference modeling in order to make a sequence of tests. So while Test Designer is new, it's actually a powerful merging of existing technologies. Test Designer includes a graphical user interface that's specially designed for the test engineer. We can perform frequency, time, noise, and temperature simulations on system board and IC level circuits. The circuits can include analog, digital, and even mechanical elements. In the end, we'll be able to perform failure mode and effects analysis, fault isolation and diagnosis, stress analysis, and test program design for both failure diagnosis, and product acceptance test. In being able to do the test design problem, handle the test design problem, Innosoft has had to come up with a number of new methods in order to improve. Some of the things that are unique to Test Designer are the following. When we perform the test design process in software, we want to try and mimic exactly what we do in the laboratory. In order to do that in simulation, we need to develop a number of new graphical techniques. For example, when you go into a laboratory in order to test a specific circuit, there really isn't just one circuit. There's many circuits surrounding the unit under tests. We call this sometimes your test fixture or support hardware. In our schematic, we have to be able to set up different hardware test setups that mimic exactly what we're going to do in the laboratory. This creates a problem. In traditional schematic environments, that would necessitate having multiple schematics, and that means a lot of bookkeeping headaches. So that's the first problem. The second problem is, how do we define how a part fails? How do you tell SPICE how a resistor is going to open or a transistor is going to short? We need to be able to do that without writing programs or scripts. We need to do it in a graphical and simple way. The next step is we're going to gather data, and we're going to gather a lot of it. We're going to simulate every failure mode in the circuit, and for each failure mode, we may record a number of measurements like maximum peak-to-peak or rise time, and we may do so at a variety of test points. This means that there are going to be thousands of measurements. In traditional SPICE simulators, you have to run the simulation, pull down a menu, put up some waveforms, and make measurements with cursors. This is way too manual for so many different simulations. Therefore, the process has to be automated. Another issue is setting test limits. Very often, the test engineer won't know the test limits. So you might ask yourself the question, how do you set a test limit on a node voltage or current, when you don't know how it really behaves? And lastly, how do we sequence a series of tests into a robust test tree in order to find the failed part, or in order to ensure a set of design is good and no failure modes exist? These are some of the problems we encountered when creating Test Designer. Now we'll look at how those problems were solved. Some of the other unique advantages to using Intisoft's tools are the iSpice 4 simulator. iSpice 4 is an interactive simulator that is a native mixed mode solution, and it's based on SPICE 3F5 and XSPICE. XSPICE is from the Georgia Institute of Technology, and it adds two significant features to SPICE. One is a mixed mode simulator, and the second is an AHDL language based on C that enables us to do a variety of different modeling. iSpice 4 also has a scripting language. The language is called ICL, for Interactive Command Language. Now, believe it or not, ICL is really in Berkeley SPICE 3, but it didn't quite work well, and so what Intisoft did was we expanded the language and fixed the problems, and now we've evolved it into a full scripting language that gives you control over the simulator. In the previous slide, I discussed one of the problems in the simulation approach to failure analysis is being able to automate the measurements that we're going to make. Well, we're going to do that using this script language. Normally, the script language is used by users to write little test procedures. In the case of Test Designer, we're going to use a graphical user interface to automatically generate the scripts that will drive the simulator and make the measurements for us. Another area where Intisoft excels is in the modeling area. We have special libraries for mechatronic elements such as motors, hydraulics, and translational rotational mechanics. We have libraries for the power supply design, including switch mode power ICs, PWM ICs, RF device models, and we also support all of the vendor models that are available on the web. One of the hallmarks of Intisoft's tools is that they're easy to use. In fact, with our latest ICAP for Windows system, you don't need to know any SPICE syntax. All of the SPICE netlists are built by the schematic. iSpice 4 is compatible with Berkeley SPICE 2 and Berkeley SPICE 3. So if you have existing models, or if you're using another SPICE simulator, you can use your existing investments in simulator and model knowledge and training. This is the test design process. These are the steps we're going to perform in our test design sequence. In the first one, we're going to capture a number of different schematics corresponding to the different circuits we're going to use in the laboratory to test our particular design. Then, for each of the different schematic configurations, we're going to assign a series of measurements. The measurements could be a rise time, fall time, maximum, minimum, and they could be at various nodes or currents in the circuit. Then we're going to perform a nominal simulation. After we do the nominal simulation, we're going to set some limits on all of the different test points that we record data on. Then we'll simulate all of the failure modes and review the fault dictionary. Once we've looked at the fault dictionary, we're going to use the information to generate a fault tree and sequence a series of tests to both find the failed part and to do product acceptance testing. After the fault tree is generated, we're going to produce ATE code, automatic test equipment code, so that the test engineer can actually go into the laboratory and code up the test sequence. This slide shows the flow in block diagram form of the test designer process we just reviewed. The schematic is kind of unique and holds a number of items, number of properties, that you might not be familiar with. Many schematics include the ability to put in SPICE simulation settings and Monte Carlo tolerances, but few, if any, allow you to put in the failure modes and the test measurement definition. We'll see how that's done in SPICENET. After we capture our database of information, SPICE 3 then simulates all of the failure modes, processes the output files, and stores all the information in our failure results and report database. That database is our fault dictionary, and it's used to build the test sequence and to produce the ATE code. This is our simple circuit example. It's a simple amplifier circuit, and the circuitry providing the feedback is actually part of the test fixture. By creating a series of layers in our schematic, we're able to put different circuitry on different layers. For example, the first layer might have the unit under test. The second layer might have the test circuitry for a frequency measurement. The third layer might have the test circuitry for a pulse test. And the fourth layer may have the test circuitry for a multimeter measurement. We can then combine the different layers to make different test configurations. For each test configuration, we're going to assign a series of measurements and a series of simulation directives. This makes sense because in each configuration, we can't do all of our measurements or all the different SPICE analyses. But more distinctly, if we're looking at the open loop response of an amplifier, we may only want to do a frequency measurement. We might then have a closed loop response, and there we can look at a step response or a time-based measurement. So in the top left, we see our schematic for the closed loop circuitry for a configuration which we'll call closed loop. The second schematic in the middle is called open loop. It only includes the unit under test and some voltage sources on the left. The bottom schematic we call safe to start. It's the same as the closed loop schematic, except in this version, I have a current limited power supply. The advantage to this system is twofold. One, all of these different schematics are stored within one design. By using the layered approach, the unit under test, the circuitry for the unit under test, is shared by all the different configurations. So if I changed a transistor parameter or a resistor value in one configuration, and the circuitry is used in multiple configurations, then I only have to change the value once. The change will immediately be reflected in all of the different configurations. This greatly reduces the bookkeeping headaches associated with developing tests for different styles of circuitry. In the dialog on the right, I can combine my different circuits, called drawing configurations, with different sets of SPICE analyses, called simulator setup. When they're combined, they result in something called a test configuration. For this example, I've created two, one called closed loop and standard, and another called safe to start and DCOP. In closed loop and standard, we're going to use the closed loop form of the circuit and a standard set of SPICE analysis, which includes a DC operating point and a transient analysis. In my safe to start condition configuration, I'm only going to have a DC operating point. After a circuit is put together, we need to define its behavior, and that's done in the properties dialog. One of the more difficult aspects of the characteristic specification is the failure modes. This is very easily done in the failure modes tab. Here we see the failure modes tab for a bipolar transistor. There are several failure modes already included in the dialog. The software uses by default the U.S. Navy's CAS standard, that's Consolidated Automated Support System. That's a set of faults that the U.S. military has deemed the most likely to occur. the R as shown, short base emitter, open base emitter, short collector emitter, and open collector. In order to instantiate a fault, we simply click on the hyphen located next to the particular node of interest. A drop-down menu will then show us open, short, or stuck. We can choose to open any node, or short any node to any other node on the part, or stuck any part on the node to anywhere else in the circuit. Here are some other examples of the flexibility in the failure characteristic specification. Test Designer allows you to handle soft, hard, and parametric faults. The default set is primarily catastrophic, but there are capabilities for doing many other types of faults. For example, shown on the left is a failure parameters dialog for the open base emitter. In it, we can put a new stuck expression that allows us to stuck the node. The expression shows VCC minus 2 volts. So for a particular node, if we select stuck, then the node will be stuck to the power supply and track it minus 2 volts. In the dialog at the bottom, we've changed the stuck expression to an if-then-else expression. The if-then-else expression reads, if the power dissipation in R1 is greater than 50 milliwatts, then we're going to stuck the node to VCC. Otherwise, we're going to stick the node to ground. Virtually any mathematical or if-then-else expression can be used for the stuck node value. This gives you a lot of flexibility. Parametric faults are also easy to insert. For example, on the right, we see the specification for low beta. In order to instantiate a parametric fault, which could be as something as simple as a changed resistor value, we scroll down to the particular parameter field and enter the value we want the fault to show. In this example, I've put in 5 for the BF parameter, beta in the transistor. The software is smart enough to recreate a new SPICE model, and we can see in the model at the bottom of the dialog, and it shows BF equal to 5. Creating a parametric fault is as simple as that. For catastrophic faults, you may also want to change the open circuit or the short circuit resistance. Those resistances can be set for each different failure mode, and the defaults are shown in the dialogs. After defining the failure modes for each of the parts, we need to decide what we're going to record for each test configuration. We need to add our measurements. In the top left simulation control dialog, we see there is a configuration called closed loop standard. That was selected before. Within this particular test configuration, I'm going to add a peak-to-peak measurement under the transient analysis. It's done quite simply. We click on the tran field and then click the Add button. The Add button causes the Measurement Wizard dialog to be displayed. There we can choose to set a stress alarm or choose the different types of measurements that we want to perform. Then we click Next. The next dialog is our Cursor Wizard dialog. In order to be able to make time measurements, prop delay measurements, or triggered measurements, we need the concept of cursors. For example, you might want to isolate a particular section of a waveform and record something about that section. Therefore, we need the concept of cursors in order to be able to make these kinds of measurements. For this example, I'm going to leave the cursor script as something called home cursor, which is the default, and that leaves the cursors at their home and their endpoints. Then I select Next, which brings us to the second measurement wizard dialog, and this is where we select the test points we want to record. The test points are all listed in the vector list. Here I'm going to select all of the node voltages in the circuit. Now, realistically, you might not be able to get to all the voltages in the circuit, but this is simulation, and we normally try and record everything. Why do we do this? Well, during the simulation process, we might find a test point that's really, really useful. And when you build out your test board, you might tell your test engineer that, hey, I really need to get to this particular test point. And so you bring that one out. It also so happens that we don't have to redo the simulations over again. So we'll record everything. In the second measurement wizard dialog, there's a set of functions on the right side. I'm going to select peak to peak. That results in a new simulation control dialog with the new measurement appended underneath the TRAN field. It shows that we're going to make a peak-to-peak measurement on all of the different voltages in the circuit. Then I perform a nominal simulation. This simulation is with all the parameters set at their nominal levels. And during this nominal simulation, I record the values for all of my tests, all of my test points. Here we see the results before we set the test limits. This is called our measurement results dialog. Let me describe the dialog briefly. On the left side, we have our tree of measurements. These are the measurements we just created. We can have as many configurations as you like, and as many measurements per simulation. You can see how this measurement tree can grow quite large. On the right side, we have the values for the selected measurement in the tree. This is showing on the left a meter along with the node names and then the measured values taken from the simulation. The minimum and maximum columns haven't been set yet. And these will define our test limits. This is why the pass-fail field is not really valid. The next step is to set the test limits. This is done by clicking the Set Limits button and using the Set Measurement Limits dialog. Measurements can be set one at a time, but this could be very time consuming. So there are several other ways to set the measurement limits. We can set them by simulation, a single simulation, or a Monte Carlo simulation. For example, the nominal column can be set to the mean value of the Monte Carlo analysis or last measurement for the last simulation we ran. This is quite useful, especially if you don't know what the nominal value is for the node. The tolerance is equal to the min and max band. This is called our tolerance band or the pass band. We can set this to the sigma limit specified in the sigma field, and this is again taken from the Monte Carlo analysis. We can use default or something called expand to pass. Expand to pass allows us to change the simulation, such as moving the temperature or the power supplies up and down, and then expand out the minimum and maximum values until the simulation results pass. This allows us to move out our test limits in order to account for environmental conditions or tolerances of our test equipment. We'll select last measurement for the nominal and default for the tolerance band. The next measurements dialog will look like this. We can see that the measured and the nominal columns are the same, and that the minimum to maximum range has been set, and now all the measurements pass. At this point, we can run all of the failure simulations. This is done one after another by selecting the batch mode with scripting turned on. If the remote spice checkbox were checked, then all of the simulations would be sent out to the spice farm and run in parallel. This can greatly reduce the time needed to perform a set of failure simulations. Once the failures are simulated, we can look at the data in a variety of formats. This is the first one. We're back in our measurement results dialog. Here we can see all of the test points in our peak-to-peak measurement for each failure mode. If we scroll down the failure list on the right, we can see what happens to our circuit for each failure mode. This will tell us how our circuit behaved when this particular failure mode was inserted. The meter shows us some interesting things. A large, thick red bar to one side or the other indicates that the measured value was more than 3 tolerance bands high or low. The small red bar indicates that the measurement was 2 tolerance bands out of the pass band. And the purple bar indicates that the measurement failed, but just outside the pass band. For example, if we went into the laboratory and looked for this particular failure mode, C2 open, and we looked at V13, we might not see it depending on the conditions and depending on the way in which C2 really opened. Green indicates that the test passed, and it's not visible given this failure mode. Another view is to open up the peak-to-peak measurement and then select one of the test points. We then can see what happens at this particular test point for each failure mode. This is our fault dictionary. It's quite useful, and it can be used, among other things, to tell us which failure modes we can look at given this test point. For example, V11 is not useful for looking at C2 open. It is useful for looking at almost every other fault, for detecting almost every other fault. The last view we have is by histogram group. Across the top of the dialog, we see the value of V11 in tolerance bands. And then we see which failure modes fall in which band. This information is extremely useful. We're going to use the fact of how bad a measurement failed to determine which test to look at for each particular failure mode. For example, looking at V11 would not be a good test if we're looking to find C2 open. But if we're looking to find, say, C2 short, then V11 would be a very good test because when C2 is shorted, V11 fails really badly. The next step in the process is to build our test tree. That's done in the test design dialog. Let me describe this dialog briefly. In the top left corner, we have our groups of tests. Now, when you go into a laboratory and perform a series of tests, very often you don't want to mix different types of tests which require different types of equipment. For example, if you have a multimeter test and a rise time scope-based test, we want to do all of our multimeter tests first, and then we want to do our scope-based tests. We don't want to skip back and forth because then we'll have to keep switching back and forth the equipment. Another issue, test designer doesn't take into account the cost of a test. Therefore, we don't know which tests are going to cost you more money to do. You might want to do the cheapest, best test first. And putting the different groups of tests in different buckets allows you to do this. To sequence a series of tests, we set the sequence number to a positive number. In the dialog here, we see that peak-to-peak has been set to 1. The other group of measurements we can select from are the operating point measurements. Here we've just selected the peak-to-peak. In the bottom left, we see all of the peak-to-peak tests sequenced from the best test to perform to the least best test to perform. The entropy number indicates how good the test is. At this point, we can insert any test we like, And as we do so using the insert button, we'll start to build out our fault tree. The fault tree shown here starts off with V13 low. V13 low takes our fault universe of 33 failure modes and splits it into 16 pass and 17 fail. The next test, V11 low, splits the 17 failure modes into 9 pass and 8 fail, and so on. On the right side, we see a test description giving us the name of the test, what the test does, and the test limits. We can insert tests one by one, or we can click the Auto Build button, and this will build out our fault tree, always selecting the best test to perform from our group of available tests. The dialog shown here is the result after clicking the Auto Build button. It shows us a percentage of the failures we were able to detect, in this case 96.9% of the failures, and the summary shows us the granularity of our ambiguity groups. In this case, we were able to detect 25% of the failure modes down to one part. If we look down each branch of the tree, we'll be doing a failure diagnosis. For example, the highlighted field, V21, shows us that we have two faults in the pass ambiguity group and one fault in the fail ambiguity group. If we start at the top and fail each test, when we get down to the V21 and fail, we'll know that R14 open is the fault we've detected. This is perfect for doing failure diagnostics and failure isolation. For doing acceptance tests, all we have to do is look down the pass side. For example, if V13 low passes, then we would jump down to V1 high. If that passes, we jump down to V11 low, and so on and so forth. So the test tree really shows us both the acceptance test path and the diagnostic path. When we're happy with our tree, we can create an ATE report that contains pseudocode for the structure of the test. Two reports are included. The first on the left is an ASCII-based report showing the test structure, in the summary of the test, and at each step, what to do if the test fails or passes, the test limits, and our ambiguity groups. On the right side, we have the test structure shown as C code. All the test engineer has to do in order to implement the tests is replace, in our example, peak-to-peak V13 low with the code that's really required to go out to the test equipment and get the value of that measurement. The structure and the ambiguity groups are then shown in the rest of the C code. This concludes our test designer example. There are a number of other ways to see the software in action and get your questions answered. For example, you could download the Test Designer movies that are on the same page that you used to start this presentation. There's also an evaluation version of Test Designer that will allow you to do all of the different things we did today on circuits under 20 components. There's also a great deal of literature, including a color brochure, and several technical articles showing different case studies of how Test Designer was used to solve analog and mixed signal test problems. Thanks for checking in with the Test Designer presentation. We hope it was informative. In summary, Test Designer is a revolutionary new approach to solving various analog and mixed signal test failure problems. It includes powerful failure analysis features and test synthesis capabilities. Intusoft and you, an unbeatable combination of service, support, and product.